Dennis Skinner.
Will the Foreign Secretary, just for a moment, try to recall, along with me, as I hid underneath the stairs when two fascist dictators, Mussolini and Hitler, were raining bombs on towns and cities in Britain. Now this government's hand in hand with another fascist, Trump. And what I say to him, do the decent thing and ban the visit. This man is not fit to walk in the footsteps of Nelson Mandela.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Right Dishonourable podcast. We meet weekly to talk about current events, social issues and politics when we're feeling controversial. Jimmy is usually my co-host, my name is Jazza, but unfortunately he's on holiday. He's not, he's working incredibly hard, but he's away this week and I'm joined instead by the wonderful, the beautiful, the charismatic Taha Khan. Hello.
Hi, I'm Taha Khan, as he said. Can't
it's
stop
awkward
me.
Introducing yourself, yeah. Isn't it?
Can't stop me on the internet, on Twitter and YouTube. I Twitter more than I YouTube. What else can I say?
Nothing. That's fine. That was a sterling introduction. I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
So, this is the week where, the world is ending.
Everything's on fire.
Everything's on fire. Please help us, God. We're going to be mainly talking about Trump and his executive orders and his love of the executive order, specifically and mainly his decision to ban all movement of people with origin of the Muslim countries of Yemen, Syria, Sudan, Iraq and Iran. God, the implications of the fact that he's barred like whole swathes of people from entering the US.
I think it's 138 million.
Oh, so yeah.
Not that many
numbers.
Yeah.
It's also very interesting that he hasn't banned immigration from a lot of the Muslim countries where he has financial interests. Just saying.
Yeah.
But we'll say that allegedly anyway. But he
incorrect use of the term allegedly, but
yeah, who cares? Like the fear of libel cases that Jimmy has just made me say allegedly in front of an awful lot of the stuff that we said. Trump has also had a very busy week because he's met with his first foreign head of state. In this case, Theresa May. She's our Prime Minister. Very exciting. I've never been more embarrassed to be British. I don't know about you.
I mean, I think I've got a certain disconnect from Theresa May because I'm...
she's not very personable,
is she? I was embarrassed for her, but I was never embarrassed for our country.
Okay, so I am genuinely just hoping against hope that we get the option of being able to buy into European citizenship, so I no longer have to be British. That's genuinely how bad it's gotten.
Oh, God, you and your citizenship.
Yeah, me and my... No, it's a really important point for me, and I won't stop rabbiting on about it. But they had a meeting because we really want to trade with the world's newest dictator, and feels of that. And Theresa May also hasn't been very good at coming out against the hashtag Muslim ban.
She hasn't really been very good at being public with anything.
She doesn't think on her feet very well.
Yeah.
She likes to be properly briefed.
Yep, she likes to be properly briefed, everything to be quite controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that comes out seems very manufactured.
Mm-hmm. Which is not often how diplomacy works. Or if you have a cohort of journalists following you around on a plane.
Yeah. I think the most clear example of that is that Theresa May, it feels like she's very much used to using, dealing with people who coordinate with her in terms of their strategy and press meetings and everything. And this time it did feel like she was alone and Trump was an unfactored entity who could do whatever he likes.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. Our final topic, after we talk about Trump and Theresa, is the fact that the clergy of the Church of England in the UK are really confused about gay people. And it's like, so they've basically said that we're going to move medium term toward being more inclusive of less traditional, hate it when it's called that, less traditional forms of relationships. Yeah, more edgy. More edgy relationships. But we'd still prefer it if gay people weren't vicars or bishops, and we'd still prefer it if gay people didn't get married in our churches. Thank you very much. And as the token gay man on the podcasting circuit, I'm going to claim that now. I don't want to confirm that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But I want us to talk a little bit about that and the place of religion in marriage. It'll be interesting, won't
it? As a legal institution.
I know, right? It's going to be really deep.
Yeah.
I can't wait. But anyway, back to the shitstorm of Trump.
God.
So, I was saying this earlier, that Trump's actually quite, is a man of integrity, clearly, because he's trying to enact policies that he promised on the campaign trail, right? This is a really good thing.
No. I think it's not
to
a really...
To you, sir, I say no.
Yeah, I don't think it's... One, I don't think it's a good thing that if he was enacting the policies he said he would on the campaign trail. But I also think that he isn't enacting the policies that...
How so? So he, on the campaign trail, said that he wanted to shut down Muslims?
Yeah, Muslims.
Coming into the United States.
Yes.
And so now this is basically what he's done, right? By choosing...
But he's created the illusion that he's banned Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
He's banned a select few countries for a very small period of time in a very impermanent way.
We should say that this is the executive order itself means that it bypasses Congress and the Senate. Like it's not technically a law, and so it's really easy to overturn it through legal challenges.
Yep.
The executive order itself only applies to, I think, 90 days. So there's going to be a shutdown. I hate that I'm using Trumpisms. But there's going to be a shutdown of immigration from these countries.
Yeah. It's 90 days for the countries that are mentioned. It's 120 days for any refugees. And it's a complete ban on Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
Which I feel like the other two... I mean, the refugee one and the ones that focus on specific countries are somewhat less discriminatory than specifically targeting Syrian refugees.
So this is actually illegal under international law, under the Geneva Convention, right? Like the...
What, all of it?
specifically the refugee part.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer. Surprise, surprise.
I'm not either.
So all of this is speculation. But I don't know what kind of international law is in place for discriminating against people from specific countries.
I think that's fine.
I also think that's fine.
Just because...
I don't think that this is fine.
No, I think it's fine in a, like, legal sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there are other cases of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that with my Pakistani passport, I can't go to certain countries.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's fine, unless everyone is breaking the law.
Still a little bit douchey.
Yeah.
There were some really, moving and horrible things that made me cry on the internet.
Okay.
I'm not ashamed to say I'm an emotional wreck at the moment.
I'm just not on the internet at the moment, so tell us all about this.
Thanks. There were cameras at some of the airports where people are being held, where people have been arrived at customs and have been told, sorry, you can't get into the United States because of your country of origin. And there were interviews with, like, family members who were, like, in tears because their brother was, like, 200 metres away, but he wasn't going to be allowed into the country. And these were, like, trips that were planned well in advance. There was also... I'm not sure how I feel about this, but immediately after the executive order was put through, there were speculations from a lot of UK press that there was a Conservative Member of Parliament who wouldn't have been able to go into the US because he was born in Iran, I believe. And then there was also the example of Mo Farah, who is the the Olympic runner, who's now become Sir Mo.
Yeah, which Sir Mo. That's pretty classy.
It is so classy.
Although I'm now going to refer to him as Sir Mohammed, because I think that would annoy Trump a bit more.
Yeah, I hope so. Although he never does call himself Mohammed.
No, I feel like that might have been a branding move, though.
Yeah, probably. I mean, would Quorn have sponsored him if he were called Mohammed? Who knows? There's an alternate universe where that exists. But he trains in Oregon in the United States.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
His family is based in the UK, and he was like, "I don't know if I can leave the US to see my family and come back," because he was a refugee from Somalia.
Yeah. But Boris Johnson came to the rescue, you know, as he does.
So Boris Johnson and who is our lady? Person who runs the Home Office now.
Home Office lady.
I always think she's Theresa May because she looks very similar. Amber Rudd. So Boris Johnson and Amber Rudd had late night discussions with the United States, with their equivalents in the US, and they confirmed that people with British passports will not be affected by the ban.
And then,
which is all
did you hear about the
fine.
Next development?
No, what's the next fucking
the
development?
Next development?
Brilliant, I can't
is
wait.
The US embassy's statement contradicts this.
So I heard there was an ex-CIA director who was on Nick Ferrari's show on LBC the following morning who said that this deal that Boris Johnson seems to have struck is irrelevant and won't actually do anything. But you elaborate.
So what Boris Johnson, the deal that he struck is that dual citizens with a British passport who aren't travelling from those seven countries in the last, I think, 3 months can enter the country.
Of course it's fucking complicated.
No, but this actually reverts back to the previous rule that the Obama administration had.
Oh, right, really?
Yes.
Who knew that Obama was a dick?
Me. I, allegedly. because I'm not sure that it was 3 months. I'm not sure if it is, like, even this time it's 3 months, but whatever Obama's policy on that was, I think it's reverted back to that. That's what Boris Johnson had negotiated, allegedly. But the US embassy's statement was, it kind of ignored that. It didn't even mention anything to do with the UK. It just said, ban on all these countries. And this was the next day. So you would assume that the most recent statement would be the most valid one.
I mean, who the fuck knows? So, like, it's really clear that we're working with an administration in the form of Trump that doesn't play by these traditional, like, international rules when it comes to diplomacy. I think that we're lucky. I think that British citizens are lucky that we have some kind of a say. And I feel kind of bad, actually, for British diplomats at the moment, and even Boris Johnson, who knew, because he's had a hard life. But I don't think there's really anything else that they can do for against a policy that they clearly are against. And they can't condemn it too much, because we are so desperate to have close relations with the United States, because we know they're the best because of Brexit. Yeah. I wish that hadn't have happened, because then maybe we'd be, like, half-decent human beings on the international stage. But I don't think there's very much else that they can do other than do their best to protect British citizens.
Yeah.
And perhaps if we were more integrated into the European Union, then there would be more of a unilateral plan to kind of tackle this swath of like discrimination that they have against people from these particular countries.
Yeah, no one really seems to be doing anything very productive against the ban.
But I don't know, like, what do you think that we could do productively? It's almost as if you don't, like, put together legislation, Taha.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm a student. I feel like there wasn't a a sort of uniform like pushback against it from governments.
Yeah, so it's been like speckles of somebody says
of
this.
Like Trudeau has a tweet.
Yeah, Trudeau tweets and posts a video about him welcoming a Syrian refugee somewhere, and then hashtag Canada welcomes you or something.
Yeah, and then trending. Nicola Sturgeon also hashtag Scotland welcomes you, which doesn't make sense.
No,
because
it doesn't. You have no control over immigration policies. Sorry, Nicola. I mean, I'm a big fan of you, Nicky.
Same, I'm a very big fan.
Yeah, I wish I was Scottish. On a personal level, you don't have to answer this. What's it like being, like singled out and persecuted as, like, a Muslim dude?
Let me speak on all Muslims.
Yeah, yeah, no, please. I mean, I have to do it for the gays all the time. Personally,
I don't... I mean, I don't feel it because I'm not traveling to America, and also I'm not from any of those countries. Yeah. So I empathize, and I see how it's basically my situation, but I don't think I can entirely empathize because it's not my situation. But it's crazy, and like it feels kind of like a dream. Like, is this really happening?
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for us to wake up and for it to all be okay again.
Yeah, but at what point was it okay? Before the coalition?
So I think it was okay
because before the coalition, it was Gordon Brown.
Oh, Gordon was fine. He just wasn't very good at media.
Did you know that he once said that we've solved boom and bust?
Yes, he did. In like the early 2000s. But that was before the next bust happened.
Yeah, he was like, we've done it, and then everything just...
Anyway, back to Trump being racist. Is there...
Allegedly.
No, there's so much evidence. I think we can really safely just say Trump is racist. Why do you think they're doing this? Because politicians, break their promises that they make on the campaign trail.
I think he's already broken it. I think there was no way he could actually fulfill his promises.
But this looks like...
It looks like
what
it.
He's doing, right? This is going to feed his base. This isn't the time that he's meant to be feeding his base.
No.
And I think that there actually is a certain amount of integrity. I think that if you end up winning a presidential election that you expect to lose, you did expect to lose, Donald. Don't pretend.
Yeah. He also did specifically say this was not the Muslim ban. Did you hear that?
Yeah, sure. But this is pretty much the Muslim ban.
Yeah.
But I in traditional like political speak, this is meant to be a time when he's like reaching out beyond his base and trying to improve his approval ratings. His approval rating started at about 45%.
Yeah.
Or his disapproval rating started at about 45% when he was inaugurated.
Okay.
Which is the lowest for any president at the beginning of their first term.
Yeah.
And have very quickly gone past 50, which is the fastest time that there's been majority negative opinions of a president, of a sitting president.
So... My problem with this analysis is that you're analysing him like he's a president or
but
a politician, but he is a celebrity.
Yeah,
and
like he was tweeted. Gonna... So we're recording this on Monday night, right?
Yeah.
And he's tweeted that he's going to that people have to tune in tomorrow evening to find out what his Supreme Court pick is.
It's a little bit like a YouTuber, isn't it?
It's a little bit like a YouTuber.
I watched his weekly vlog.
I would if he had got Casey Neistat to edit them. Would be very good. But what do you think their plan is? What do you think that Steve Bannon, who's his head of strategy,
so
is like?
I genuinely
to do
think
this?
That Steve Bannon is the one in control.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I don't know if you heard about him being put on some Security Council thing.
Great.
I have the article. I'll probably look it up in a minute. But he's been put into a position that is generally reserved for generals.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Bannon. I think this was today, and some I think head of national something security. Very accurate, right?
Very good.
Is
we aim for accuracy on
has been like demoted slightly. Like he's underneath the hierarchy,
right?
Of of Bannon in this, like, in this organization with, I should genuinely look this up, but he's essentially been put into a role that is generally reserved for generals and security staff.
Yeah.
Which I find very worrying. And so I kind of think that Bannon is in control of most of the operation. And this is classic sort of classic Bannon, you know, just being Bannon. So he's like created this very chaotic sort of almost in, I would go as far to say, like, when I tried to look up news for most of this, it was just incoherent. Like, I didn't understand what information was what. Like, he's
just trying to flood. Do you think that there's something in the hypothesis that at the moment they're trying to flood the airwaves with just sound, so I'm a big fan of the dead cat theory.
Okay.
That when you want to get away with something, you just go, here's a dead cat, throw a dead cat on the table, and everybody talks about the dead cat, whereas behind the scenes you're pushing through the Snoopers Charter, for example.
Yes.
I'm worried that that's happening, because for example, even on the BBC, which is a brilliant newscaster, but like, I think the most sane reporting comes from the BBC.
Yeah.
Not great groundbreaking reporting, but I think that they're a brilliant like newscaster of record. And for a good day, all that was on the front page of the BBC was Trump Muslim ban, Trump Muslim ban.
No, and I think that...
And that's just noise.
But I think that the noise that that's creating is for this Bannon... The fact that Bannon is now on... I just looked it up. The National Security Council.
I could have probably
guessed
that.
Fantastic. And it's like Bannon is now in so many places within this Trump administration.
But do you think that is the thing that they're trying to distract from by implementing
very
stuff?
Conspiracy theorist right now?
I don't think it even is conspiracy theorist, because it's been a tactic of governments, especially in the 24-hour news cycle. It's really easy to manipulate what people are covering in the news.
I also think that.
And people are looking for the Muslim ban. They're looking for the wall. But what is it that... I want to know, what is it they actually want to do? Because all of these are actually quite superfluous things.
Yeah,
I don't think that there's going to be... Like, it's a waste of fucking money. But the wall isn't really going to be hugely consequential in the grand scheme.
Do you think it'll happen?
I think something will happen.
Yeah.
People have been trolling him by saying that it's a fence. But
I don't think that's a troll, because that's what George Bush did. He didn't finish
there's
it. There's a partial fence.
But I think that there will be something built on the US's southern border. The Muslim ban is like...
And I think like, liberal media is doing...
we're definitely liberal media, by the way.
Yeah, no, but I do think that like general mainstream liberal media, because we're so edgy...
Yeah, I thought that meant gay. What?
They're generally like helping Bannon's case by calling it the Muslim ban.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if it's perpetuated as this Muslim ban, Trump's base is going to think it's the Muslim ban. And if Trump's base thinks it's the Muslim ban, they're satisfied.
But then Trump's base is not huge. Like, it's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of like popularity ratings, he's... probably going to be struggling to actually make laws, because when presidents have low popularity ratings, the Senate doesn't want to work with him, even if he has a majority, and the other one.
Congress,
thank you. Yeah. Jesus, we do politics. Hey?
Yeah. And I also, there is already friction between the GOP and Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They're just confused. Why is he doing this? Because it's not necessarily something the GOP really wants to focus on in the grand scheme of things.
Somebody was somebody, I can't remember who it was, tweeted me the other day and suggested that the barrage of outrageous stuff that they were doing was partially to test the resources that could be mobilized to come up against Trump. And so all of these protests that are going on, and I think that it is actually a really brilliant thing that we have, that people are mobilising so quickly.
Don't you think we're going to be fatigued?
Yeah.
We're going to be fatigued so fast.
Because, nothing can come of them. when there is a president who doesn't care that people are protesting against him.
Did he even address the Women's March? Like, did he even say anything? Because I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know what he's tweeting.
No, I don't think... Not really, no.
Which is very interesting.
Is it interesting because I don't expect him to? Because he's creating this parallel reality that is separate from the, like, mainstream media and what we see as mainstream thought. He's creating his own little bubble where there is essentially an alternate reality. And that's what really worries me, because that's what dictators do. Dictators separate the media and legitimacy and say that, hey, you don't want to listen to them, listen to me. And he can just spout bullshit. It really pissed me off how long we talked about the size of the crowds at Trump's inauguration. Because I'm like, there is more important shit than who turned up to Trump's party. But it's a really... I'm scared what else is going on as a result of it.
I'm more worried about Bannon. I'm genuinely, whenever a Trump headline comes out, I'm like Googling Bannon and seeing what he's up to, because he knows media, and I do think that was a very good point about him testing the resources.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also to cover up the fact that he is actually going to struggle. Trump is going to struggle because he's already...
But I don't think he necessarily wants to achieve anything. I don't think his goal is to ban Muslims or to build the wall.
No, Trump's goal is to...
His desire is to take down the system that exists.
Who? Bannon or Trump?
Both of them. Trump via Bannon, or Bannon via Trump, whichever way you look
at it. I think Trump's agenda is to make money for him.
Do you really think so? I don't think that that's the case anymore.
I think Trump
it is interesting that he hasn't banned countries like Saudi Arabia, where he has huge business interests.
But Obama...
And where actually the majority of people who kill Americans in terrorist attacks are trained and come from.
But So this is an argument that I've seen briefly. I assume it's an argument that's circulating Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just... Why is that an argument? Why are people saying that, oh, well, he didn't ban the countries where terrorists actually come from. He should be banning those. But you've literally just used the exact same logic that Trump would use.
I'm not saying that he should. But like, I think that it shows that this is just, like, noise. Because there aren't any actual, real, strong implications for the world that Trump himself cares about. The implications that are here are humanitarian, mainly. And, like, based around the rights of individual human beings. What he cares about is, like, economics and the ability to make money. And the countries where the US has stakes on that front, like Saudi Arabia, like even Pakistan and Indonesia, where the Trump Organization and the US is more heavily integrated economically, he hasn't touched those. And so I think that the fact that he's using these seven countries as scapegoats shows that he's just blowing hot air.
US are still bombing five of them. I just want to point that out. But these are the countries that are generally used as scapegoats.
Mm-hmm.
It is like, those are the countries you go and hit with a stick when you're trying to please a Muslim-hating group of people, because it's the people who, they don't really do anything for the US.
The IRX and the Irans. Speaking of people being hit with sticks, I don't know how I'm segueing this, but Theresa May went to meet Donald Trump.
She's like a pushover, isn't she? She doesn't inspire...
No, I don't think she's a pushover. I think she's desperate. She has so few options because Brexit is happening. She has identified that in order to maintain British, I don't know what the word would be, like British interests.
Yeah.
She needs to compromise on Trump, and that thoroughly embarrasses me, and it makes me really fucking sad. To be completely honest,
I'm just going
to
throw this wild out.
Oh, hit idea me with it.
I said this to my flatmate, who's a economics student, and he thought it was semi-valid. So
go on. It must have weight if an economics student.
Student. Yeah. Wow, I've just completely destroyed the economics as a subject there, haven't we?
It's okay, I studied languages, they're useless
as fuck. I study economics.
Yeah, Google Translate is now machine learning languages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely obsolete. Anyway, you were saying.
So, I feel like there is another approach to this, which would be to kind of... At the moment, I feel like there is a possibility that the US could be decreasing in its power, especially with its isolationist approach to not only trade but also diplomacy.
But who's going to make America great again?
No, but what I'm saying is that there is also a chance for Britain to expand its powers in terms of trade and diplomacy outside of the US.
Which is actually why I find it quite interesting that she's decided to jump on this Trump deal. Yeah. And I think she's jumped on this Trump deal because she knows that it would be really easy to get through very quickly because he doesn't give a shit about international conventions. He doesn't, and by conventions I don't mean like a convention, I mean like norms. And so he would quite, and so he would quite happily talk to the UK about a trade deal, even though the terms of leaving the EU say that we're not allowed to negotiate anything until we've actually left after 2 years after Article
50. So do we not care about conventions anymore?
I think that she needs to find as many fucking loopholes as she can. Otherwise, you end up with, like, billions and billions of... We end up billions of pounds.
I have a question. So the EU states that we're not allowed to negotiate trade deals. But, like, if we're already leaving, why do we care?
Because sanctions. Oh. And because we want to have a trade deal at the end of the day with the EU. And they're our biggest trading partner. You see the problem with Brexit? I wish somebody had said this when we were campaigning last year.
But did you not hear all the money? The money is going towards
the NHS. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, we'll see if that actually happens. I've quite enjoyed Chuka Amuna trying to make people actually stand by that pledge. But anyway, go on.
I mean, I would... I'm going to lay it out there. I am someone who voted Remain. I'll come out as the minority in this situation.
I mean, not for me. I voted to stay as well.
Yeah.
Jimmy voted to leave.
No,
we
I know.
Hate him.
But I agree with most of Jimmy's points.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
No, I agree with... I would say I agree entirely with Jimmy's points. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jimmy. But what I disagree with is I just feel like the economic implications were just completely outweighed all of that. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it was just... completely disastrous economically, but in terms of sovereignty and
those were the legitimate arguments, right? But when we've been put in this dire economic situation that's going to hit us like a ton of bricks, we're going to have to compromise on our integrity. And actually, the idea of the UK having integrity is a fucking farce anyway, because we sell arms to, like, the Saudis, who then sell arms to Yemen, who then bomb children.
Oh, we sell arms directly to Yemen, do we? No, we don't. Sell it to... No, yeah. I'm going to correct that.
Okay, go on.
Because we sell arms to
allegedly.
Saudi... No, we sell arms to Saudi to bomb Yemen.
Yes.
We're not selling
there
to Yemen.
Go. Yeah, there you go. There's the actual flow of how the UK is killing people.
Cluster bombs.
Fun. See, this is the thing is, there is still, for whatever reason, maybe because of the cultural highs of the London Olympics, there is this perception of the United Kingdom being like a good guy. I think still, somehow, we still have that perception on the international stage. If Trump is talking to us, he is going to be seen as more legitimate, and we are going to, unfortunately, be dragged down. It was quite interesting, actually, to see him and Theresa May do a press conference. I'm pretty sure they don't like each other very much. I think they're just getting on.
I felt like there were moments in that in which Theresa May said something, and then Trump would directly... undermine her.
Yeah. He mansplained. Like, loads. And there was also... So Theresa May... I think Trump asked for somebody from, like, the New York Times or something is his first question. Theresa May went to the BBC, went to Laura Kunzberg.
Yeah.
Laura Kunzberg is a really good political editor of the BBC.
I really liked that question.
Yeah. And
Trump didn't.
What was the question regarding Trump? I just remember his reaction.
The question was about how Theresa May had said that she would be frank when she disagreed. What were some things that she disagreed on? And then also she went on to list a bunch of things that the British people or the British culture would fundamentally be opposed to, such as endorsing torture, Russia, and there was another thing.
And then Donald Trump was like, this was the question you chose for me? Jeez.
There goes that relationship.
Yeah, and that was terrifying.
And that was, like, it didn't seem like banter. Mm-hmm. It really didn't.
No,
like,
he was pissed off.
It seemed like, May, you're on your last chance. Like, why did you pick the BBC?
And the BBC, just the biggest broadcaster in the United Kingdom. Who would have thunk that she'd have chosen her? But then there was also, once the executive order for banning people moving from the seven Muslim countries to the US, she was asked about this on a plane to Turkey, I believe, and she wasn't able to condemn it. Yeah. She dodged the question like four times, later came out to say that this is not something that is conducive with British values.
Yeah.
But I think that when she was first given that question, I believe she panicked because she needs to keep the evil man on side. And no matter how much she says that she's going to be able to keep him to account, she clearly is not going to be able to keep him to account because she doesn't know how she's going to respond to those kinds of things. She just said, this is a US issue.
Can we really have 4 years of British compromise to Donald Trump?
I think that that's what ends up happening because we're in such a desperate place.
I don't know if a Trump US would actually benefit us economically.
What other options are there? The Chinese aren't going to talk to us. The EU won't negotiate with us until we leave, and we're going to have a worse deal than when we were inside the EU.
I mean, so we are still the financial capital of the world.
Sure.
Not for long.
That's going to be Frankfurt.
Or France.
No, the French don't work properly. That's racist.
Oh my God.
It's okay, I know I have friends in Paris. If you were Theresa May, where else do you think that you'd be able to look? Apart from, like clearly the US, which is crazy.
Yeah, so the problem is that we are a services sector, and especially we focus on finance, generally, which means that...
And call centres in Wales.
Sure. who account for 45% of our GDP, allegedly.
Definitely, yeah.
So it's quite difficult to name countries that are not in the EU or the US, apart from Canada. So it is looking bleak.
But the thing, the reason that we're having to pivot towards the US is because everybody else like abides by the rules.
Yeah.
And we have a rule breaker in Trump, and Theresa May sees that as an advantage in us being able to get something swift. He's also got an affinity for the United Kingdom because his mum was Scottish.
Yeah.
To the pain of all Scottish people.
Yeah.
I
still have Andy Murray, though.
They do. Sir Andy.
Andy.
Which is really odd. I feel like Andy shouldn't be...
No, Andy's like a name of someone you'd go down the pub with.
Yeah, like Tim.
Yeah, it's like, Andy! Not really like Sir Andy.
Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about with Theresa selling us out?
Oh, the NHS and the other thing. She refused to say that she wouldn't put the NHS on the negotiation table.
No.
You didn't know this? Corbyn tried to...
Was this at PMQs? Because I can't watch that anymore.
I wasn't
PMQs
watching,
just makes me really depressed.
I wasn't watching PMQs, but I assume it was from PMQs. Mm-hmm. But Corbyn asked the question, and it was dodged. Twice.
Well, so the thing is, I think that the NHS is pretty... This is a cliche thought, and I wish that there were evidence to the contrary,
It was the NHS and something else that's important to the British people that I've completely forgotten.
The Queen? Are we going to privatise the Queen? Is that what's going to happen? That would be brilliant for Jimmy. He hates the Queen. But I...
Not a massive fan.
I think she's lovely.
She does. She does the job.
She's got really good hats.
Tourism.
Yeah, but she... But the NHS is being, like, gutted. And is not fit for purpose under a Conservative government that won't throw money at it or will not invest the time in structuring it properly. I don't think we'll have an NHS in 10 years. We'll have an NHS, but it won't function the way that we're used to it functioning. And I think that's really sad. And maybe the way that we get by is by having loads of US investment because their healthcare system is fine.
I don't even know what to say to that rant.
I know, I'm just...
No, but yeah, so it's not off the table. Which is, to me... I'm very passionate about the NHS. I think that that healthcare should be free at the point of provision. Which doesn't necessarily mean no privatisation. So I can give some...
You're basically a Labourite. Oh, I've touched a nerve.
I don't think I am. I think that I'm not sure on exactly how I want the NHS to be structured yet.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, you're young.
I'm very young, but I do know that healthcare should be free at the point of provision.
Mm-hmm.
So it
should function. You shouldn't have to wait months in order to see somebody. Or 12 hours in A&E.
No,
like,
yes.
It infuriates me.
Fun fact, 80% of the people using A&E are not using it for the right reasons.
Yeah, and do you know why? Because it takes you 4 weeks to be able to book something for the doctor.
Yeah.
And that's...
Also because of education, though. A lot of people don't know what things are A&E worthy and what things aren't. And I think that's also another fundamental
thing. I don't know, man. I think when you call up your GP and they say, you're not going to be able to get a doctor's appointment for this cyst that you found on your testicle for another 4 weeks, you're like, well, fuck it then. I'm going to go and escalate it. I think that's the only option that you have. And even Jeremy Bloody Hunt, the health secretary, takes his kids to A&E when they shouldn't be going to A&E because guess what? He also can't get a bloody appointment with his GP. It's fucking ridiculous. Anyway, shall we talk about gay bishops?
Yeah, let's do that.
This is kind of like an overhang from the equal marriage legislation that was put through under the coalition.
Yep.
Proposed by Lynn Featherston, who is no longer an MP. But...
Was she... Lib Dem?
She was a Lib Dem, yes. And then she wrote a book saying, titled Equal Marriage, How I Made It Happen.
Single-handedly.
Yeah, a straight woman in North London.
Saved the gays.
Saved the gays. Thanks,
All
Lynn.
Of them.
Thanks, Lynn.
Good job, gold star. Yeah, multicoloured.
She became a lady as well.
Oh.
After it. No, Baroness. She's in the House of Lords now.
When you said she became a lady, I genuinely thought you meant she became trans.
No. There were no trans representatives in the Houses of Parliament at all. Yay! So basically, when this was put through, one of the conditions for having gay marriage on the table was giving religious institutions the option to opt in.
Okay.
So the idea of this was so that gay couples would not be able to file lawsuits against institutions that decided not to marry them because of their religious beliefs.
Okay.
Kind of makes sense if you're an evil
yep.
Tory. I shouldn't say this. My family are bloody Tories, and I think they're lovely. But so basically, all of these religious institutions opt in. Those who have include liberal Jewish communities, Quakers, and some other people.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, Catholic Church still not down for gay marriage.
Yeah.
The Muslim
probably
not a church.
Mosque?
No, but the mosque is like a physical place. Like, what do you call the concept of the Muslim community? The Muslim community, still not down for marriage between the gays. And the Church of England, despite the fact that Anglican dioceses across the world, because we like colonized loads of people and gave them our God. They are renowned for being incredibly liberal, especially when it comes to LGBTQI plus representation. But in the UK, they've decided that this still isn't a cool thing. So they passed a proposal in their meeting of their bishops last week that is really fluffy and flaky, and basically said that we're going to ask people about their private lives when it comes to relationships when they become bishops, with kind of the implication that if they find out that somebody is in a same-sex relationship, then or is gay in some way, shape, or form, then they wouldn't be given bishopship.
Okay.
I really hope that that's actually the word of bishopship.
Bishopships.
But also that this isn't going to be something that they have to ask everybody. So basically implying that there's going to be a don't ask, don't tell policy for queer people.
But does that not also mean, oh, if I don't like this guy, I can kind of ask this question to see if I can...
I guess, there was also kind of like the declaration that they were going to...
I'd kind of like some consistency.
So this is the problem. If they just said, we don't like gay bishops, none of them please, none of the gay marriage, sure, fine, bye. The problem is that they're meant to be the Church of the United Kingdom. Its values are meant to mirror the values of the country. And the United Kingdom has decided, apart from Northern Ireland, but we'll get onto that in another day.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, Northern Ireland is the only place in the British Isles where gay people can't get married.
Northern Ireland's the sovereign one.
No, Northern Ireland is the part of the United Kingdom.
Okay, so not the sovereign one, right?
Have you seen a map?
It's the one in the north.
Yeah, very good.
I just get confused.
Hence the name. The United Kingdom, as a country, has decided that gay marriage is something moral. The Church of England has decided that it isn't.
Does the law correlate to morality?
So this is what I actually wanted to ask you. Because there is kind of like this odd overhang of the lack of separation between church and state, despite the fact that an awful lot of our politics is incredibly secular. You would never have a British Prime Minister say, God bless Britain, for example.
Theresa May say a bunch of stuff about how...
Theresa May said that God was guiding her hand in Brexit or something like that.
Yep. But
that was odd. And the fact that that was odd, but I think, says something about the separation of church and state in practice. But in theory, they're still fused.
Okay, yeah.
The Queen is the head of state and the head of the church. And gay marriage and gay priests are going to be, like, fine in the Church of England soon, in the midterm. They were just like, oh, we're not down for it now. Maybe a little bit later. Yeah. And then they left it at that. And it's... I feel like we kind of had a running theme on The Right Dishonourable where it's just like we have to wait for the old people to die.
Yeah, you say this a lot.
Yeah. although maybe we'll all become really bigoted and hate gay people when I'm older.
Yeah.
Do you... What...
So, my... I mean... I kind of agree with that.
Like, which bit?
The old people thing. kind of. Mm-hmm. Because you will still find people... Wait, what was the question?
So,
I mean, I agree with what you just said, that a lot of the views... But, oh, here we go. I think like, if you looked at it from a more optimistic standpoint,
mm-hmm.
you could see it as this being a transition period for the culture of the church.
But the culture of the church is pretty much there. But there is the those who are in power within the Church of England, and I can't remember the name of the organisation, but they they're a lot older and have these more conservative values when it comes to relationships. And I think that it's
allegedly.
Very... Well, no, they clearly do.
No, as in, but I think I'm convinced that the culture of the church is already there.
I think that the evidence internationally, when you have Anglican churches that tend to be more likely to be okay with stuff like gay marriage. Okay. And also there's the fact that even when there is a very liberal church within the Church of England, they're not legally allowed to perform gay marriage.
So if the Church of England said it was okay, can then specific churches
Then churches can all perform gay marriages and bless gay marriages.
Okay. At the moment, do they have to?
Yeah, they would have to.
Okay.
I guess it would be internally enforced within the Church of England.
Right, okay. So basically the question is that, is the entire country ready for it? Because if it is a...
It's my right to get mad. I'm not a religious man. But I would... I want to get married in the church that I grew up in.
Yes.
And I can't do that yet. And that fucking sucks.
I am just playing devil's advocate.
I know you are, but okay. I'm annoyed at your devil.
I just wanted to clarify. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to spin it in a positive way, but...
Do you think that there is... Do you think that this matters at all? Because of the... The majority of people in the United Kingdom now identify as secular, if we go by the census, right?
I generally think that if it's legally allowed to happen,
What do you think of the exception for religious institutions? Do you think that that's valid?
I'm not really sure. I don't really have that much of an opinion on this.
I want you to have an opinion.
Just because...
Don't make me do what I did to Jimmy last week to you.
No, because the reason is that I feel like if it's legally allowed, then it's not... Like, it is... You are being stopped from doing something in a certain place because you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like... It is legally enforced, but not really. Like, it is... It's basically like... Not as bad as it being illegal, if that makes sense. Like,
no, sure, exactly. It's right. Like some kind of a weird limbo fine line between the two.
I don't really know enough.
I think there's a bit of a fear, especially when it comes to religious freedoms in the UK, that people are going to sue everyone. Like, there was the case of the gay cake in Northern Ireland, and somebody wanted to put
And they said no, didn't they?
Yeah, so they said that this... that they should have been able... So a bakery in Northern Ireland didn't want to put a slogan supporting gay marriage on a cake. And because they would have put other slogans on cakes, then they had to do this for one that proclaimed support for gay marriage, because that's...
Oh, and like I think you talked about how it was a political statement or something.
Yeah, so technically it's a political statement. And I think that there is this fear that gay people go around the country suing bakeries and bed and breakfasts because we don't get treated equal. And I'm like, but is it like I should be treated equally by like businesses and institutions? Otherwise, that's discrimination. And that's when the law is meant to protect you.
I agree. Cool. It's very difficult for me to have an opinion on this, just because I don't really have an opinion on it. Like, it's like, I believe just that religion in itself is meant to be a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not meant to enforce it upon others.
Mm-hmm. But then so, you have organised religion, and right. That's when everything goes to tit.
Yeah, so I generally... I'm like in this middle ground where I'm like,
cool. So the conclusion is everyone agrees with Jazza.
Yeah, I mean I agree. I'm just trying to. I can't really come up with an objection.
I know we do have a load of listeners who probably won't agree with me. Who are kind
of, probably have good points. Just can't think of because we're in our little bubble.
Yeah, in our little bubble.
Yeah.
If you have any thoughts on the gay marriage issue in the Church of England, please do tweet at us. Or even if you want to like panic about Trump, please do let us know on Twitter at Right Dishonor is where you can find the podcast. You can find me at Jazza John
and me at Can't Stop Me KHAN.
Stop me.
Well, hey.
Yeah. Those are words that you probably should be able to spell. Where else can they find you on the internet?
I am on YouTube at the same URL, youtube.com/can'tstopme. And I think by the time this podcast comes out, I should have another video up.
That's so exciting. You haven't uploaded in like half a year?
6 months, yeah.
Yeah. You grew a little bit of a beard as well. It's very exciting.
Yeah, that's what the studying will do to you. but if it's not out, then it's never coming. So just...
Brilliant.
I just got to cover all my bases.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. Please do leave us, if you've enjoyed listening to us, then please do leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us out hugely in terms of getting other people to listen to the podcast, and it means that we're validated. I believe Jimmy's back next week. It's very fun. And
big fan of Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy's fine. Okay, goodbye, everybody. Toodle-y.
Great. Hopefully this was still recording.